Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Hunter Nitti, professional walleye tournament angler, back on the show. We had him on last summer. He was having a dream season. Anybody that was following along at all knows that Hunter Nitti won the Angler of the Year for the NWT in 2024. And so we're going to get a little bit of a reflection on that now that he's had a little bit of time all winter here to kind of digest everything that did to him. And so, we're going to get caught up with that. We're going to get caught up on he's already started the 2025 open water tournament season on the Mississippi River. So we're going to talk Mississippi River a little bit. Very timely there. But also, Hunter has been very active up on Mille Lacs, capitalizing on that big perch bite. And so we're going to include some of that in this conversation as well. So we're going to bounce around a little bit, but a great catch-up conversation with NWT Angler of the Year, Hunter Nitti. The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps. That and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool both on and off the water for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast. We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Well, we got a lot of catching up to do. I got like four or five like big topics. I'm sure we aren't going to cover it all. But that being said, man, get us caught up a little bit. From Angler of the Year last year, give me a little bit of a rundown of what life's been like since you've got that trophy on your mantle.
Yeah, it's been great. I always told myself I was going to win the Angler of the Year and someday I'm going to win one of those tournaments. And I just didn't know that it was going to happen that fast into my career. I knew I was going to work hard enough to do it. And, it was just going to happen someday. I was going to work till it was going to happen. And, it's been great throughout the year. And after it's happened, I mean, I gotten a ton of opportunities. I've gotten to film with some guys during the ice season and, do podcasts and, you know, you walk around these fishing areas that I go to and people know you everywhere. You walk into gas stations, they're like, "Hey, are you Hunter Nitti?" And I mean, that part of it's been super cool. We're just going fishing, and that's what we love to do. And I that's kind of all I've been doing still. I just go fishing and keep doing what I'm doing. And that's kind of how my year has been after that. And, you know, we fished probably five more tournaments after that happened and it all went good. And I mean, it's been an awesome ride so far.
Yeah. I mean, I got to imagine that, like if that NWT championship, and then, you know, you're pulling an extra boat home for Angler of the Year. If that had been your final tournament of the season, that would have been pretty anticlimactic, man. Those five tournaments after that, like, who cares how you finished, but you probably needed a little bit of that, like, you know, a little bit of decompression. I mean, jeepers.
Yeah, I definitely kind of decompressed. I was like, you know, we went into these other tournaments at the end of it, and I was just chill. It was actually awesome. They were like my favorite tournaments of the year because I felt like I had no pressure. And we went in, we had fun, we joked around, and the last tournaments ended up being great too. I think I won the last two I fished.
Nice.
And that was incredible. They're both tournaments I really wanted to win. One I've wanted to win for a while. It was a tough tournament. I mean, anybody can really win it. To dial it in perfect to a T is something. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. And we had a bunch of fun doing it because we didn't have all the pressure behind us coming at us to try to win an AOI.
Yeah, and I, you know, this far removed now. I mean, you know, we're fully, well, you've already started the 2025 like open water tourney season. I want to get to that eventually, but like, you know, if you could reflect now, like you've had this much time to sort of think about it, how were you able to sort of either deflect, embrace, or, you know, compartmentalize, you know, that type of that pressure or that those feelings and emotions and still make good decisions on tournament day?
Yeah, that's the tough part. You know, I would say last year during the ice season, we were sitting around a table with some buddies, and one of my buddies told me, and they're like, dude, you're an incredible fisherman, but you got to figure your mind out. And I'm like, all right, what does he mean? And that's kind of where he left me. And I was like, yeah, I got to figure my mind out. And, you know, when you got these guys chasing you and you know you got an AOI at stake, and you really got to flush out some of the things that you're thinking and just start thinking about fishing and just go fishing. You just got to go fishing, and you got to do what you think is right. And you can't start zigging and zagging all over the place and start thinking too much. You got to really, and it's really tough because you're sitting on a spot and you're like, this is the right spot. This is where I need to be. And you're not seeing what you need to see. But you know, in the back of your head that at some point you're going to find what you need to find. So you need to stay. And I think staying put on certain areas and just going with what my pre-fish told me was 100% the biggest key to it. And just calming down and fishing and like trying to make yourself laugh and not get too worked up. And the minute you start thinking about all these other things that you got this guy chasing you and this going on, you got to find a way to start thinking about something else. You got to start thinking about just don't worry about that. I mean, if you start worrying about that, you ain't going to catch them.
Yeah.
So just go fishing, act like it's another day of fishing and try to go whack on them. And you're going to make bad decisions. But as long as you could figure out a way to capitalize, I mean, that's the biggest key on the bad decisions you make. You could still just, if it's a bad decision, you just got to keep casting. I mean, some people, they just give up, and you just got to keep casting. And it might be the last cast of the day, and it's going to change everything. You got to have that confidence. You got to have confidence in what you're doing. That's the biggest key for me is just go fishing and quit thinking about everything else and go catch them.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm going to just isolate that little bit of audio there, and I'm going to put it on an MP3. I'm going to carry it around with me in my earphones when I'm in the boat. Like everywhere I go, man, because just the pressure of catching some eaters for supper so my wife will be happy when I get home is sometimes too much pressure for me to make good decisions.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, man, Oh, golly. Like, just the pressures of life sometimes get the best of a lot of us amateurs. So it's like, you know, I got to ask you that question. It's like, I really mean it. Like, I just want to know to get through my own little bit of pressure. But no, I love that, man. I think that is it, man. I mean, you gotta be able to, in your own way, and I'm sure everybody that's ever won Angler of the Year maybe has their own version of that story, but I think that is so genuine and pure of, like, I'm sure you've sort of envisioned yourself winning. Like you say, you planned on doing this work for enough time in a long enough career that you were going to do this someday. You had envisioned yourself, you know, executing and hoisting that trophy already, like, you know, in your dreams, just in, you know, in your own way, you'd fantasized it, you'd put it out, it was in your mind. So, you know, hopefully some of those moments when it was a little bit dicey of should I stay or should I go, you know, probably didn't entirely feel so foreign to you, you know, I mean, because you probably manifested it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You got to manifest it. I manifest stuff all the time. Like, I envisioned this for the whole year and me holding that trophy up, and I didn't know if it was going to happen or not, but I manifested that it was going to happen someday.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, dude.
And then, I mean, another huge thing is, like, I fish as many tournaments as I can throughout a summer and I just keep going. I mean, if I'm like, oh my gosh, I got an open weekend. Why do I have an open weekend? Why is there an open weekend in my schedule? Is there a tournament anywhere? And I look at whoever my normal partner is that goes to those tournaments with me. If he can't do it, I'm off to the next guy. Hey, we got to go fish this thing. Well, we ain't going to have time to pre-fish. I'm like, I don't care. Let's just go fish it. Because the big thing that I've learned too is, like, out of all the tournaments I fish, you learn something at every single one of them. And when you're fishing another place, you take what you've learned from all these other tournaments and you just put it into perspective on the tournament that you're in. And the big thing with that is, like, knowing that, yeah, I have tournaments that, I mean, first hour I caught them. I mean, I got them, but I've had tournaments where I worked my tail off all day long and didn't catch them. But I've also had tournaments where I worked my tail off all day long and I got them in the last 20 minutes and I'm sitting up there in, like, the top three. And you can just never give up. And you just look back at all those other tournaments and you learn so much from them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious about this, man, because I see that, like, I follow you, I follow your socials. Like, I see that you clearly fish every tournament that you can get your fingers on. And I love that. But I'm curious about, like, you know, what you would say, maybe give me some strategy or just some recommendations, just some perspective maybe on how to attack, like, a 1 or a 2 day tournament that you've gotten no pre-fish for. And it's like that. It's like, you know, maybe like a pretty modest boat field and, you know, a pretty good body of water. Like, what is your mindset, your strategy? What is, you know, just what are some good recommendations for me going into that? Cause I think I got one of those coming up this summer.
Yeah. Biggest thing to it, cover water. You ain't got a lot of time. So I've showed up to many tournaments day before, even day of, and I knew one thing that I needed to do. And I don't worry about anything else. I put my favorite bait in my hand and I cover water hard, fast. Trust my electronics and just go. And I don't slow down for a five pack, anything. I mean, I'm going. And throughout the day, it'll just start clicking. All of a sudden, all right. Back here, I seen a five pack up in the shallow water. I didn't even waste time casting at them. I know they're walleyes. They were up in the shallow water. I just went a mile down the lake with my trolling motor going as fast as I can, trying to figure out where there's more fish. And I just found another group of fish in shallow water. And I'm like, oh, they're like sticking to 12 feet. All right, I'm going to get up into 12 feet and I'm just going to cruise and see how many fish I could see in that depth. Cause I think that's what they're doing. They're in 12 feet, whether they're feeding on crayfish or whatever they're doing. I don't even try to figure that out. I'm just like, give me a depth. What are they doing? Let's figure let's figure this out and cover water. And that's the beauty of like lakes like Wittamagosh, where we go a lot, and Mille Lacs or Ottertail. That those lakes seem so much smaller to me now that I've fished the NWTs on these monster bodies of water where you like say cover water, but there's water everywhere, yeah. You know? And and that's what we do. There's water everywhere on those big lakes, but all we do is cover water. And these little lakes, I mean, like Ottertail Lake, I showed up to a tournament out there a couple years ago, and I was driving home from Michigan, from a tournament in Michigan, and I was just like, let's go fish this tournament. No pre-fish, nothing, never even fished the lake, and all I knew was I needed to cover water. And we covered water, and at 1 o'clock, I never got discouraged. I never thought one time I wasn't going to find them. But it took till 1 o'clock. We didn't even have a fish on the card. And I'm like, oh my God, there they are. I literally had the trolling motor on like 8, and I was just going, just cruising all day. And I found them. And I'm like, there they are. I threw 28 and a half, 27, 27. And I was like, oh my gosh. Now, granted, if I would have had some pre-fish and I could have found them, I think we would have won it because that bite shut off, but we still took like third place. And that's the biggest thing, is like, get confidence in your bait, use your favorite bait, and just cover water and look at your side scan. And if you truly believe they're walleyes, they're walleyes.
You know, the difference between a good and a bad pre-fish, sometimes a good pre-fish is like the kiss of death, because you just have so much equity. You feel like in a spot, I can relate to that completely, you know, or, you know, most people would just decide not to fish a tournament if they couldn't get some pre-fish in, right? So like, I just think that is so lit. But now you've already fished open water tournament. And then you had to kind of educate me before this, like where your primary residence is, like where you are living, you're just, you know, a baseball throw from the Mississippi River. So tell me, get me kind of up to speed on that. That'll kind of get us up to today. And then, you and Will fishing the Mississippi River in that freeze your butt tournament. And then just any Mississippi River, fishing that you've been doing lately, I'll take it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So literally we ice fish pretty much most of the winter. And then whenever you get any warm up, I'm on the river, I'm in the boat. I would way rather be in a boat than on the ice. And usually when February ends, I know everybody goes out in March and goes ice fishing because the bite's good. And I know it's good, but I'm back in a boat. I mean, it's 60 degrees out right now. I'm back in a boat the minute I can get back into a boat. And I'm only 30 minutes from Red Wing. I'm 15 minutes from the pool 2 launch. That's every day after work, that's what we go do. And the freeze your butt off tournament, me and Will have been fishing that for 3-4 years now. And it's kind of just a deal that we get our buddies together. It's a great fundraiser, and we go fishing and we have fun, and it's fun. Like, you get to go fish a derby way before all these other derbies, and we try to dial something in. And we've had years we took 3rd, 5th, 10th this year, and it's just so fun to go take off in the boat and swing the long rods around. And you know, that bite is a lot better than a lot of people think too. It took me years to really dial it in down to a T, and I still don't really have it dialed in as good as some of these river guys that fish it every day. But it's a blast of a bite. You know, the water's clean right now. There's not a lot of flow, so you can pretty much throw whatever you want. You can go wherever you want and cast whatever baits, whatever direction you want. And these fish are slowly working their ways up to the dam on 4. You kind of just wait for the wave of fish to start coming up and kind of follow them up as they crawl their way to the dam. And you have some amazing days. We fish a lot during the night, just mostly because we're working during the day. And I got a buddy here at work that the minute we get off work, we jump in the boat, we run down to the river and fish till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And It's a blast. I mean, and they're giants. That you have a chance at catching, you got your chance at catching a 14 pounder, you know, and that, I think that's our biggest reason that we go down and do it is, you know, any cast, you could catch a fish of a lifetime. And, that really gets you excited. It's a fun bite. Night bite's fun. You could pull cranks, stuff like huskies, and go up and down the river and just get bit, and it's a blast.
I mean, it's not just like a pre-spawn, it's like pre-spawn. You know, you talk about the last like month of fishing or whatever. I mean, it's cold. It's winter. I mean, it's winter here in the Midwest. Just because you're on the river in a boat doesn't mean it's not winter. So, like, you know, what do you feel like is a piece of understanding that you could pass along as far as like how to find fish or catch fish? Like what is a good piece of a good recommendation that you'd be willing to share on like what it takes to dial in that like early season, like now or even like the last month? You know, I know guys have been out there for the last month or whatever. I mean, it was like February for sure. You guys were in a boat. So I'm just sort of curious about how that understanding is, because there's, you know, we've got a lot of rivers, you know, where the season is open out in the Dakotas and, you know, the Missouri River, things like that. Like, but it's like, it's for whatever reason, it's just not that popular. I think it's just too cold probably for people to be out in a boat, but it's like you guys over on the Mississippi River are just a little bit more hardcore, it seems like.
Yeah, it's definitely a little crazy sometimes, the stuff that we do. You got heaters in the boat and, yeah. But you know, like I would tell you what, this is the biggest thing to it. Early mornings are always a good bite. You know, those spots that you see a lot of people sitting on, you know, those are the spots that you hit right away in the morning, before anybody else really gets out to it, before there's a pile of boats sitting on it. And the big thing is those spots are really good. And a lot of people don't think that they're really good because they get there at 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and there's 15 boats there, and everybody blew those fish off that spot. I mean, they got baits going past their faces all over the place. There's trolling motors going all over. The biggest thing is, like, you're the first guy there, and you anchor lock on that spot, you're going to get bit. Because you're the only guy there, nobody's been in there messing around, blowing them off it. And it's always really good, like the first hour. And the biggest key to that is anchor lock on the spot, figure out what the current's doing. And you're either throwing swim baits, blade baits, jig and minnow. This time of year, you got to slow down your presentation a little bit. So you can still throw the baits that you want to throw, but just slow it down. Like, you don't want to be ripping a blade bait as hard as you can through there. All you want to do is really just give it a nice, just a little bit of a rattle to it. You don't have to pick it up super high off the bottom. You're only 4 or 5 inches off the bottom and let it fall. And don't get too jumpy. Just let it sit, lay there. Let it lay there for 10 seconds before you go to jig it again. And just lift it up and then jig it again after that. You know, like a jig and a minnow. We throw jigs and a minnow a ton this time of year, but we don't jig it. We just throw it out there and kind of just drag it along as slow as we can. And a lot of times this time of year, they like to pin it to the bottom. And if you're moving that bait too fast, they'll never pin it. But if you're moving it nice and slow, 10 inches, 12 inches, dragging it and just letting it sit, they'll come up and just pin it right to the bottom. And that's a lot of times in the morning, that's kind of your key bite. And then once people start showing up, the crowd starts showing up, they start to push fish off and all those fish go out into that deep water. And that's when you kind of slip out into that deep water, get away from everybody and just start. Some days we like to go up current. Some days we like to go down current. We kind of let the fish tell us what they want and just start going down current with the current really slow, the same speed as the current, maybe even like 0.2 mile per hour faster than the current. And just take it nice and slow, dragging jigs, popping blade baits, But I mean that's the bite this time of year. And then at night, we fish a ton at night, get up shallow. I mean, it's just like any lake, anywhere you go, them fish get up shallow, they start chasing bait, and they get super active. And that the night bite's incredible. I mean, you can go from pitching banks to big sandbars. They love laying in the sand at night. I don't know why. I think it's a little warmer in there for them, and the bait fish just love it. Casting the sand at night, the same thing. Swim baits, dragging a jig and a minnow, just nice up and shallow. I mean, that's kind of the biggest key to the river right now. And right now, you slow down your presentations as there's more fish coming up, and we start to get towards that spawn. You can start to speed things up, where you're working that rip and wrap or blade bait a little faster, and you're working that swim bait a little faster. That's kind of the biggest keys to the river, is just watching that water temp. And as it warms up, you start to warm up, and you start to work your baits a little faster and get those bites a little better.
We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. The Onyx Fish app is an excellent tool for finding your next fishing spot. Download the app today to get free lake information in the states of Minnesota and Wisconsin. I'm talking about research tools that we talk about on the JMO podcast all the time with all the top pros here in the Midwest. I'm talking about satellite imagery, fisheries data, lake surveys, contour maps. That and so much more can be found in one place here now with the Onyx Fish app, a phenomenal tool, both on and off the water, for discovering new great fishing opportunities, many of which you would have never known existed. Link is in the description of this podcast. Are you looking for the perfect winter getaway? Look no further than Minnesota's own Lake of the Woods. Welcome to the walleye capital of the world, where the next hook set could be a big walleye, a delicious sauger, a giant pike, or a state record burbot. But it's not just about the fishing. From cozy resorts to unique bars on the ice, Lake of the Woods offers winter fun for everyone. Plus, the resorts and expert ice fishing guides up there are ready to make your experience easy and unforgettable. Discover the magic of Lake of the Woods. Visit lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Getting up early too, that can be such a key deal that a lot of people are letting, just justifying another couple hours of sleep because, oh, the water ain't going to warm up till this afternoon, right? How many times you hear that? And there's probably some truth to that certain, times of the year. But when you start talking river and clear water, I think that is super key piece of information there that people ought to be thinking of, is like, well, I've never been first to a spot. Well, that might have something to do with the success you have or haven't had. That can be huge.
Yeah, big
time.
That can
be huge.
For sure.
So what do you got planned so far then for the open water season? What can we expect to see from you as far as you're fishing the NWT, I imagine, but anything else notable that you plan on fishing this year?
No, it's pretty much the same as every year. We're going to fish the NWT again this year and see how the schedules fall, and when I got a weekend off, I'm gonna see what derby's that weekend and go sign up for it and go fish it no matter where it's at.
I love it.
We got all the MTTs, you got Ames, you got all these other series of tournaments that, I mean, these guys are great sticks in the MTT, in the AIM. You got some guys that could definitely jump over and fish the NWT. It's tough for a lot of guys. I mean, a lot of guys got they got jobs that won't let them do that, and they got kids and they got families at home, and they just don't have a lot of time to get out and do it. But these guys are pretty good in these other derbies too. So it's about the same competition. You hop in there and go fish against those guys and learn as much as I can. You know, I'll probably do some guiding this summer, and I'm just going to fish as much as I can and try to get better. You know, that's kind of my goal for the whole summer. I'm rigging the boat up right now, getting ready to go get it wrapped, get the jerseys ready, and just get ready to go fishing.
Man, that sounds kind of dangerous, man. Like you're literally, you know, holding the AO, you know, the 2024 NWT AOI trophy, and you're still talking about having goals of getting better. That if I'm your competition, that doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside at all.
Yeah, no, I love learning new stuff. Like every day, I don't even care if I go catch fish anymore. I care more about learning something. And the days that I learn something while I'm fishing, I am not catching very well, because I'm not going to go sit on these spots that I know have fish. I'm going to try to find some new stuff that might have fish, might not have fish. And I'll go through 20 spots that don't have fish. Then I'll pull up on this one spot that I never fished. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been missing this because I've been fishing my regular spots. So, you know, I learn something new every day. I learned something new last night. We were fishing the river and we started doing some crazy stuff. And I was like, oh, look at that over there. And we're kind of like, oh, that's not that cool. And I'm like, yeah, but it's weird. Let's go check it out. I made like 3 casts, caught 10.5 pounder. I was like, this is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
And then we caught like an 8 and a 4 right after. I was like, holy moly. And then now my brain has been running all day. Like, why are they in there? What are they doing? And I'm going to figure out why they're in there and what they are doing. But I don't have my head wrapped around it right now.
I do want to shift a little bit of gears, because I just don't know when I'm going to talk to you next. And I think it's definitely pertinent for this time of year. But I just want to spend a decent amount of time talking about the ice fishing that you've been doing this year. Because like anybody else, I'm a creeper on social media for the people that I'm, you know, that I'm always trying to learn from and see. And I'm seeing you over on Mille Lacs on that nice perch bite that we've been seeing so much about. I mean, you can't even attempt to open up a YouTube feed and not see like videos of these nice perch being caught on Mille Lacs. And you've been one of the guys I've been seeing over there, kind of, you know, you were on it early and been seeing you updated throughout the winter. So I kind of want to get your, you know, your 5 or 10 minute, you know, reflection on that perch bite this winter on Mille Lacs, man. How did that start for you, and what's the deal up there?
Yeah, so what an incredible ice season. I mean, it was awesome. You know, I kind of knew it was coming last year. You know, we had a rough year. The ice wasn't that great. We didn't get to get fish houses out like we wanted to. And some of us got out, but not a lot of us did. And I got out and I kind of knew the perch bite was coming, and we caught them last year. I just kind of kept it a secret a little bit because I didn't know how good it was going to be coming up. And I knew there was a lot of them, but I didn't notice that there was this many of them. And going into this year, I was deer hunting pretty hard. And my grandpa owns a resort up on Mille Lacs, Nitty's Hunter's Point. He's like, dude, there's something going on. There's a perch bite going on, something serious. And I'm like, is there guys out there already? He's like, yeah, we've had like 3 guys go out. This is like the first day they opened up the roads, and they came in with just buckets of jumbos. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get on this before it ends, you know? And got out there, and first day, I think we had like 220 perch, and we drilled 4 holes. It's sat in 4 holes out in the deep water off of the rock breaks. That's the biggest key. You got to get out in that deep water off the rock breaks. They will be in no man's land, in the dumbest areas ever. I don't even really have a spot. I literally just get out in the middle of no man's land and just sit down, and I was waiting for them to come through. And they would come through in such big packs that you just, I mean, we had days that you would sit there till like noon and you wouldn't get on like the right line. You felt like that they were traveling. And then all of a sudden, boom, at noon, and 15 minutes you had 80 fish laying on the ice. And you're like, holy moly. It was crazy. And, you know, we got a snow bear this year, so I got to put that to use. That was super cool, going out in the snow bear, sitting down, being warm, and beating up on these perch. And it was just incredible. First couple weeks, I think we had like 1,500 perch, and it was just a bang fest. Well, then everybody had heard about it, and I had posted about it a ton because I wanted other people to come up and enjoy it once I knew that there was a pile of them. Yeah. I mean, there was enough of them for all of us to enjoy it, enough of them that I could say, hey, everybody, there's a perch bite going on Mille Lacs. Come up to Hunter's Point, get a roll pass, come through, everybody that walked in there, my grandpa would point them in the right direction. You know, if they didn't get them, it was probably because, okay, you were off by 10 feet, you know. And people were coming up, and they were just having a ball. It was great. Then you kind of noticed, like, midway through the season that they kind of started to – the perch kind of started to skirt you. And I was like, oh, no, maybe there's not that many of them, not as many of them as I thought. Maybe we're beating up on them too bad. And that's when we kind of put the snow bear away and we got on foot like we used to do way back in the day, and you just drill holes. And now with live scope, it's like cheating, I know, but we're drilling holes, and I was spinning the live scope. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're all still here. They're just skirting like the shacks. And we'd be like 50 feet that way. And you get a good team of guys, like of four guys. I mean, I had John Hoyer and Caden Hudock and Kyle Minky and all the boys with, and we just ran around and we beat on them all the way till the end of the year. It was, as long as you moved and you drilled and drilled, and you could still catch 200 fish in a day, easily catch 200 fish in a day. Yeah. You just had to have the mindset that I got to keep moving. We noticed that even driving our trucks around on the ice, that we were spooking fish underneath the ice. So we grabbed the auger, grabbed the scope, grabbed rods, and all of a sudden you look back and your truck's a little dot, but we found way more fish just walking around on foot. And man, I think this is crazy. Some people might not like this, but I think I caught up like 3,400 perch this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, but there's something to that too. You know, you talk about, you know, I mean, your family's got a resort up there, and you know, you look at the resources, like perch are just sort of historically a very cyclic fish. I mean, we can talk about, you know, different bodies of water or different, you know, type ecosystems sometimes grow them faster than others. It takes a little while or whatever. But, you know, by and large, the perch, what I gather, you know, talking to biologists or whatever, I mean, the perch are so cyclic that it's like when they're on, you kind of got to get them.
Yeah.
Because whether you catch them or not, whether you clean them or not, Mother Nature's going to cycle those fish out. So it's like when it's hot, you got to be on it. I feel like that's been my favorite part to sort of observe what's going on over there, is that it's like it's another great, phenomenal fishing opportunity. A lot of people, you know and understand that body of water, probably for walleye fishing or whatever it is, but it's a great place to, I think it's been a great shot in the arm, you know, for the industry and just for that, yeah, that the resorts in that area and whatever. And it's like, you know, there's just nothing better. I mean, we out here in the Dakotas, we're kind of spoiled with a lot of the perch fishing or whatever, but everybody here, I think, has a pretty solid understanding that even that's, you know, it's so cyclic that like when it's on over here, you can keep it a secret as long as you think you want to have something to yourself, but keeping it a secret doesn't mean that you're going to have it by yourself for the next 10 years, because Mother Nature is going to cycle those fish out. So it's like, you know, I think that, you know, the conversation sometimes gets a little bit different, you know, for other species like bluegills, for example. It's like, they're kind of one where it's nice to protect big ones when they're there. It's awesome. Well, I'm glad I got to hear some of those stories. I definitely wanted to touch on that, because it is still late ice. I mean, anybody that wants to get after them ought to be getting after them, you know, safely as you can, you know, this late ice season. But yeah, man, no, I appreciate being able to catch up with you here since AOI and looking forward to this season and definitely wishing you luck and all that stuff. Unless there's something else, I feel like we can wrap this up. I'm really good on time here, but I'm just really happy that we were able to make this conversation happen. And I wanted to get to you early this year, even like before the main tourney season kicks on, because more than likely I'm going to be pestering you here at some point in time this summer after a few tournaments come and go, and get a little update from you at that point. So I wanted to get to you early, man. So yeah, like I said, once again, appreciate the time, man, Hunter. But unless something else is jumping out at you, I would just say, like always, sign this off, let people know if where they can follow you along or get in touch with you if they ever had questions or anything like that, your socials or just any content, any brand, anything whatsoever that you want to promote, man, go ahead.
Yeah, no, for sure. My Facebook page is Hunter Nitty Fishing. I mean, you can always message me on there. I do kind of look at a lot of the messages. I don't get to all of them, but I mean, the good messages, I get right back to those people. And then Hunter Nitty Fishing on Instagram, Nitty's Hunter's Point up at the resort there during the winter. I mean, I'm almost always there. So if you stop in, you can always plan to be there during the winter. And that's pretty much it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, dude. Well, we'll talk to you.
All right, later.